And the Lord commended the steward insofar as he had acted wisely. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's gospel, the parable of the unjust steward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Had our Lord walked the earth in the last decade of the 20th century and in the first decade of the 21st century, he would have had a lot of good examples to point to make a comparison about the unjust steward. He wouldn't have pointed, I think, to a guy who was taking care of the money for his master's estate. Rather, I think our blessed Lord would probably have promoted, or rather pointed to someone who is promoting something on Wall Street. We know that there is quite a bit of scandal in our own financial system. Huge amounts of money are traded back and forth, and people make an awful lot of money in the process. Some of them, the big traders, actually refer to themselves as masters of the universe because they handle these huge amounts of money. When the money is traded back and forth, they get commissions. One comparison I heard made was that it was like a cake being passed back and forth, and the guy who passed the cake back and forth got to keep a few crumbs of the cake, or maybe a small piece. Well, if the cake is large enough and you pass these cakes back and forth enough, you end up with an awful lot of crumbs and pieces of cake yourself, which is how the system works. So there are men who became enormously wealthy, and lots of examples for unjust stewards. There is the Enron scandal maybe 10 years ago. There was a man named Bernie Madoff who, as they say, made off with a lot of money. There is an Indian trader who was just convicted. He has a long last name, which I can't pronounce. He was just convicted of all sorts of financial chicanery. So this keeps on going on. One of my favorite stories as a comparison for the unjust steward, I think, would probably be that of Goldman Sachs, the giant New York investment house. They are supposed to take care of your money. You're a wealthy man, let's say. You have an awful lot of money, and you want them to invest the money wisely for you to get you a return on it. So they, in effect, become stewards of your money. Well, in 2007, they created a type of financial instrument, a way of investing called a CDO, a collateralized debt obligation. My eyes sort of glazed over when I just read, you know, those words. You think, what is that? Well, the idea basically was this, that when you bought one of these things, you were betting that people, that little people like us, will keep up with their mortgage payments. And if they keep up with their mortgage payments, then you make huge amounts of money. So that's what you're betting with Goldman Sachs. Well, the man who did the analysis of these CDOs, after Goldman Sachs was pushing them to different people and different clients, and after they were fairly successful in selling them, one of the men involved in the analysis said that, well, you know, we're pushing them, but they're really not good investments. They're actually bad investments. But so we have to kind of protect ourselves. And in fact, this guy said, I think that it's going to go the other way, that people are not going to pay their mortgages properly. So we've got to bet the other way. That's called short selling in the stock market. And we're going to create a way of ensuring that we profit when that Goldman Sachs profits when these CDOs start to fail. So it was, someone compared it to starting a fire and then buying the fire insurance. starting the fire yourself. So what happened is, the bottom line, as they say, was that the investors of Goldman Sachs lost $1 billion, and the guy who set up this operation basically made $1 billion, became hugely, hugely wealthy. This was impossibly complicated and elaborate, and it took an unbelievable amount of thought and of planning and of attention to detail. So it was an unjust steward on like an epic, epic scale. But the idea is basically the same, that when something fails, even though I've been involved in it, I'm going to profit. I'll be set up on my own. And that's just the idea. That's just the idea in today's gospel. The man who says his first loyalty is to me because he wants the things of this world. Our Lord's lesson to us is not that we should become cheaters and deceptive like the unjust steward, but we have to imitate his prudence. In other words, he was looking to the future, looking to the future. We imitate not his vice, the evil end that he wants to obtain, but his ability. He's persistent in going after what he wants. And you see that. You see that in people who want to gain in this world. So you need prudence. To live well, you have to act well. And to act well, you have to consider what's done, what is to be done to achieve your goal, and how you're going to do it. You can't act on passion. You can't act on impulse for the big decisions of your life. You have to use reason. Reason. Prudence. And that's the virtue that directs you what and how you get to that good goal. You see, time and time again, the dedication of worldly people. In the spiritual life, we have to imitate that dedication to achieving a good goal. We have to imitate that persistence. We have to give serious thought, for instance, to what we're going to do to achieve our goal. And we have to know what our goal is. We have to know what our goal is. And we have to look for the means to attain it. How exactly are we going to get there? And then we have to take the steps, the necessary steps to do it. But to do that, you have to have a long-term picture, especially, say, when you're starting out in life and you begin, you're at, say, the end of school and just beginning work, or beginning some sort of occupation or profession. It is necessary that you ask yourself, what is my long-term goal? What am I going to do in the long term? And it's something that you have to think out, that you have to reason out. It's not some, and it has to be something realistic and not pie in the sky. You know that God put you in this world so ultimately you could get to heaven. And the way you get to heaven is by means of a vocation. For most people, it's going to be the vocation of the sacrament of matrimony when you start out. So then with that in mind, you have to say, okay, that's a long-term goal. It's probably going to be a realistic long-term goal for me. So what am I going to do to achieve that? What am I going to do to make the sacrament of matrimony that I receive a means of my sanctification? And so you have to kind of try to set up everything and plan everything out in terms of what exactly you're going to do. The unfortunate thing is that we do tend to act on impulse. And the question, let's say, of finances, that we're in the type of a culture where we see something and that we want it, and we have this idea of immediate gratification. And it's difficult to say no to ourselves, especially perhaps when we're starting out. But it's the long-term goal that you have to keep in mind, that providence for the future. I was listening to a program on the radio yesterday. It was the person who gave the interview was a woman who helps people with long-term financial planning. You know, specifically people in our category, basically middle-class people. You know, what do you do to plan for the future? And she had a whole program, but a part of it is that you have to deny yourself and you have to think about the future. You have to be prudent. So that's good advice for young people starting out, and it's good advice throughout the rest of your life. You know, that virtue of prudence when it comes to the things of this world and when it comes to the things of the next life as well. Our Lord expects us to be clever, to be wise when it comes to planning for the future, when it comes to taking care of spiritual things. So learn to conduct your life not by reaction or impulse, but take the lesson from the unjust steward to act by reason, to act by reflection. It may seem to be something that's self-evident, like do good and avoid evil, but it is something that we do not consider as often as we should, our long-term goals. We have to give this same consideration to achieving the ultimate goal of this life, which is happiness with God in heaven. And in this way, we will become just and holy stewards of the gifts and the abilities that God has given us. Be then just stewards. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.